I want to achieve more. I want to try to get to the next level. How do I do that?
Like, there's got to be something better than this.
How can I achieve more? What else can I do?
Yeah. This is the hardest thing I've ever done.
Sure.
I imagine it's the same for you.
Yeah.
All right. If you're joining us for the first time, you picked a good one. This is where we're going to be raw, vulnerable, open, transparent, you name it. Give you some insight into our background, who we are, what makes us tick, our burn. But we want to share a little bit of our background because we think it's very important for you all to understand, you know, where we come from and why we are the way we are. Brian, rumor has it that since you could speak, you wanted to be a freight broker. Can you confirm?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure about that, but I think, you know, I didn't even know what logistics was until I was, you know, 25 years old. But this will be a fun show. I think get to know us a little bit better, get to know, you know, who we really are and, you know, the foundation of this show, right? So, yeah, I think I'm excited to share a little bit more about, you know, my background and you know, where I've been and kind of, you know, what we have planned for the future.
Awesome. Awesome. So if you don't mind, give us a quick snapshot, a little bit of your background, professional life,
yeah.
You know, what got you here?
Yeah, so born and raised in Missouri, you know, small town kid, very humble upbringing, you know, didn't have a lot of money. There was a lot of things that, you know, we had to be very resourceful. Growing up, I was a sports junkie, loved, you know, baseball, basketball, football, gravitated towards baseball, you know, so many different stories on how that shaped who I am today. And I think that's those are the cool things now that I look at it, you know, now as an adult. But, you know, played baseball in college, shaped and formed so many connections and relationships while I was at the University of Kentucky in Lexington. You know, after that, I did the graduate assistant thing for 2 years. I got my master's degree and I thought I was going to be a collegiate baseball coach. But those jobs only paid about $10,000 to $12,000 a year. That was not going to pay the bills, right? So shortly thereafter, I got a job at a logistics company at 25, had no idea what I was doing. Came in, tried to learn as much as humanly possible. I had some success there. And, you know, I fell in love with the industry, right? So I love it because it's fast paced, it's energetic, it's always alive. And it's something that, you know, if you're not in it and you don't understand it, you don't really get it. But I definitely have the fever to be in the game. And that was a cool thing. We started up an office in Lexington, Kentucky, in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and then, you know, came back here to Cincinnati. And that's where, you know, for me and you know, my history, it's always, how can I achieve more? What else can I do? What's something, you know, this is not good enough. And how can we get to that next level? And I think that's very evident, especially when I met you in Lexington, you know, 2011. You know, it's one of those things where we gravitated towards one another right off the bat. This is something that I'm very excited about. And it's been a cool process so far.
Awesome. I love it. I do want to back up real quick.
Yeah.
You're probably the most humble Division I baseball player I've ever met in my life. Because you kind of just breezed past the fact that you played baseball at the University of Kentucky.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to, or let me rephrase it this way. How does being a collegiate athlete translate into a competitive like sales role like you know, you started out of college?
Yeah. So great question. I think it's one of those things, it's all about time management, right? There was a million things. You'd wake up at 5 a.m. to go to a workout, then you have classes from 8 to 1, practice from 1 to 5, and then study hall hours right after that. So a lot of it has to do with time management. Also, it beats into your brain that the work ethic and dedication, you know, so I think there's a lot of things that if you want to be good, right, you got to practice.
Yep.
And so that's a cool thing. And that's what I loved about going into like a logistics sales role or hell, any sales role. It was competition. There was a scoreboard. You actually, when you worked hard, it paid off, right? In forms of recognition as well as your paycheck. So I thought that was the best thing, man. I think it's, that's the cool part about it. I'm glad that I took the route that I did, even though I didn't know anything about it. So
what happened? You're obviously not there anymore.
Yeah.
What was the turning point for you?
Yeah. You mean at my previous company?
Yeah.
Yeah. So with that, I took a role. It was kind of like a mid-level manager role, right? And I felt like I was not being pushed to my full capacity. And that's one that it just didn't sit very well with me, right? I was working probably, you know, 30 hours a week. It wasn't very challenging. I was extremely unhappy, right? It just wasn't the right fit for me.
Yeah.
I'm always a person that I want to achieve more. I want to try to get to the next level. How do I do that? Like, I don't care how many hours it takes, but how do I get pushed to that next level? So Yeah, that's something that, you know, that was kind of the breaking point. I think, you know, you and I had talked about that previously, but that is something that I was not fulfilled and I was, you know, very complacent in that role.
Okay. So you leave your previous role, you have to not compete.
Yeah.
We'll hit on that.
Yeah.
We're not gonna, that'll be a full episode.
Sure.
So we're not going to get too deep on the not compete yet, but you have 2-year non compete.
Yeah.
Because it's funny talking to you because I know your story, but you have so much value to bring to the table with moving up in a company, a large company at that, being in a mid-level manager role.
Yeah.
Having a 2-year not compete.
Yeah.
Saying, you know what? I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm pursuing this.
Yeah.
No real plan in place.
Yeah.
What were you thinking?
Yeah. I'm not really sure. I guess I had a lot of confidence at that point. Right. So, but yeah, I think it's one of those things. It's, you know, enough is enough, right? There was so many hours and weeks and months that went along, especially in that last point or in that last, you know, 6-7 months that I was just unfulfilled and I, you know, was complacent and I had to make a change. Right. So, that's something that I, you know, I love my time there. I love my time at that company. They have a lot of great people that are there. I still have, you know, some of my best friends and connections that are there. But yeah, I think that's, you know, going back to it, what was I thinking? I know that there's greener pastures ahead.
Okay.
Right. And to me, that's where, you know, my optimistic nature comes in. And I know that we can achieve great, you know, bigger things.
So I got a situation for you.
Yeah. Yeah. What you got?
Very successful in your current role.
Okay.
Let's say we have someone with 3 or 4 kids,
uh-huh.
Wife, been at their previous role for 10 years,
yeah.
Looking to start a company.
Yeah.
What advice would you give them?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing is to have a plan, right? Have a plan. I mean, you can always cut ties at any point, right? But have a plan on what you're going to do. Network with, you know, people in your community. And, you know, figure out what your next steps are. And that might be, you know, starting a podcast or coming up with a blog or having a newsletter once a month or whatever that is in any industry. Hell, maybe it's opening up a bookstore because that's your passion, right? So I think it's have a plan, make sure that, you know, you're doing those things or, you know, you're doing those things that fulfill you.
Okay. Brian, you're in a great position. Been with the company for a number of years. You have tenure, making great money.
Yep.
You're moving up, but yeah. I think you may have reached a ceiling.
Yeah.
What was it? What was a turning point for you?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. I mean, in that middle level manager role, I knew that for me to get to the next level and have more influence over the organization, it was going to be 4 or 5 years, right? I saw the writing on the wall. I saw other people that were in those types of roles and they had to wait it out. No matter what they did or how much, you know, performance they had, that was the timeline. Also, another thing is, you know, I wanted to make sure that I bet on myself, right? Bet on myself, take the chance, because I didn't want to look back 5-10 years from now and say, man, I wish I would have quit or I wish I would have had this dream or vision, right? So I think those are things that I, you know, I constantly live my life without trying to live with regrets, right? So making sure that, you know, putting a plan in place to do that.
I love it. Love it. Well, obviously, Brian, we have similar stories, so
yeah.
I can definitely relate. So you take the leap of faith, big bet, biggest bet of your life, you're gambling
sure.
on yourself. Veritas, full throttle. Tell me where you're at today.
Yeah, so we're, you know, we just crossed 3.5 years with Veritas. You know, we're a $40 million company. And a lot of that comes to the fact that, you know, me and you, right? Stinking rolling up our sleeves and getting after it, even when nobody's watching, right? Those are the times that it's, you know, we started the company where we were both working from home. You know, I was in in my sub basement, right?
Like 2020?
Yeah, 2020.
Yeah.
Concrete walls all around me. You know, you were in your office and we were shooting IMs to each other back and forth all day. Looking back at it, that's the cool thing. And, you know, as we sit today, you know, again, we're 3.5 years in. We're reaching, you know, greater heights than we had ever thought at this point. But, you know, for us, I love the fact that we had these goal meetings a couple of weeks ago, but our sights are set even higher. Right. And that's what I love about like the drive that me and you have. You know, we're very similar, you know, for better or for worse, nothing is good enough.
It's so, funny. It's funny. I haven't thought about it in a while, but looking back, you know, 2020 is part of COVID.
Yeah.
I'll never forget the conversation we had. It was, I don't know who started, but it was something of the nature of like, hey, what is going on in the world?
Yeah.
Like, does it make sense to start a business?
Yeah.
And we immediately were just like, yeah.
Yeah.
The conversation was
neither
two
one
seconds.
Of us started it. It was somebody else that said, hey, are you sure you want to start 3 months after COVID? And both of us looked at each other and said, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very interesting. So enough about me, man. Tell me, I'm going to jump over to you. I want to I want our listeners to know a little bit about you, man, about your story. So give us like a 2-minute breakdown of who you are, where you've come from.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's funny because you and I do have very similar backgrounds. My parents separated when I was 2. I had an older brother. Dad remarried shortly after, so I was lucky enough to get another mom, 3 other siblings.
Yeah.
But it was tough. You know, my mom was a single mom. I would have never known the difference, but, you know, we always had shoes, clothes, go on vacations here and there. But, yeah. You know, I don't think things were ideal for her. And I realized it later in life how much she truly went over the top and hustled and worked multiple jobs and took care of people.
Yeah.
And that stuff impacted me and changed me to who I am in today.
Yeah.
But also, you know, my dad was a hustler. He drove for UPS for, it felt like 100 years.
Yeah.
Funny story real quick. He said, I know I'm going to go long in 2 minutes.
Yeah, but, no worries.
He told me I would do ride-alongs every now and then with him, or he'd pull up in his truck and, you know, show up at school and give us some candy or whatever. But I thought it was the coolest thing because he told me that he was the highest paid UPS driver ever.
Uh-huh.
And his reasoning behind that was he had an 8-hour shift. And if he could drive his shift in 6 hours because he'd run door to door, that he was getting paid more than every other driver.
There you go, per hour, I'm sure. Yeah.
So that's something that stuck with me forever. And it's that hustler mentality. You know, go to college, you know, left home after high school, really never looked back. I've always been very independent, probably why I learned the hard way, because just kind of on my own, figuring things out. And went to college, didn't really care that much for college.
Sure.
I cared more about work because I never had money.
Yeah.
So my focus was work.
Yeah.
I found myself bartending, you know, through college. I kind of moved up at a high-end steakhouse in Lexington. But I was bartending and I was working with a lot of people that had been there for 10, 15 years, and they're, you know, 40, 45 years old. And I'm just 22-year-old hustler trying to make as much money as possible, you know, working off the clock. And I'm like, there's got to be something better than this.
Sure.
So I had some buddies that worked at a logistics company in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Connected with them. I found out that this same company was opening an office in Lexington, Kentucky, which is actually how I met you.
How we met.
So I was in the first hiring class there. We started with 6-7 people. I think we grew that to roughly 200 by the time you went to Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Sure.
So you went down to Arkansas, started an office. I went down to Austin, Texas to do more of like a culture rebuild.
Yeah.
And similar to you, like, I don't want to be there, or I don't want to do something if it's not challenging.
Sure.
That's where I have no desire. If it's difficult and it challenges me, I'm all in.
Where do you think that comes from? Is that like, if it doesn't challenge you, like, where does that come from?
It's a great question. I think it starts with my just competitive nature. You know, I don't really care to do anything easy because everyone does easy stuff.
Sure.
I mean, that's just society in general.
Yeah.
I like doing things that no one else is willing to do. And I think that's like, I'm not a gambler. I've never been a gambler.
Sure.
And you've mentioned it, but the one thing I will always gamble on is myself.
Yeah.
When we had the opportunity, we talked about it for years, when we had the opportunity to start Veritas, I was like, I'm in. I'll never forget the time where you and I had been talking and we'd gone back and forth. And you know, this conversation started in 2013. It was 2018 at the time.
Yeah.
I'm in Austin. You're back at Cincinnati.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember the parking lot I was in. It was a gas station across from the office I worked at in Austin, Texas.
Sure.
And we had been talking and the conversation were kind of heating up.
Yeah.
We both were unhappy with our mid-level rent manager roles. We're in similar positions. And I called you. I said, Brian, I think I'm done.
Yeah.
And you said, I'll quit tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think you might have quit like, actually let me talk to my wife. But I think you quit very shortly after.
Yeah. It was like a week or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I had to move back from Austin, Texas, or I probably would have quit with you. But either way, you know, we went all in and it was the biggest gamble of our lives.
Sure.
Fortunately for us, it has the highest payoff. So, you know, here we are today. It's been a whirlwind. It's been extremely challenging. But, you know, I know you know this. I've mentioned it plenty of times. There's very few days where I do not look forward to coming into work.
Sure.
Because it's a challenge every single day.
Yeah.
Our team's phenomenal. We're growing. Majority of them don't have much experience, but it's amazing that we can make that impact on them and you know, get them, you know, to reach their goals and help guide them or give them, you know, structure to you know, strive towards their goals, whatever it may be.
Yeah. So with that, man, like obviously during your time, you know, at TQL, tell me more there. Like, what did you like? What did you dislike from your time at TQL?
Yeah, I think early on it was awesome. Being one of the first hires, it was a very small team.
Yeah.
I mean, we had six or seven.
Part of something special, man.
Yeah. 6 or 7 people in a small office. I think maybe we held 40, 50 people. I don't even remember. It was small.
Sure, yeah. Rosebud.
Rosebud. The camaraderie. I mean, we were so tight knit and you didn't know it at the time, but
yeah.
You know, I'm always looking at who is the most successful.
Sure.
And you were the first one in. You were the last one out.
Sure.
And I would find out your routine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I would, 5 minutes before, 5 minutes after. Brian, you, at the time, you had like a 45-hour hour drive back home.
That's right.
So it was pretty easy for me to stay later. But
yeah,
you know, you were getting there early. And you're busting your ass on the phones. And you're doing things the right way. So quietly, I'm in the background like, I'm going after this guy.
Yeah, there's only one way to do things, man. That's the way.
Yeah, so early on, it was amazing.
Yeah.
I would even say the first several years was awesome.
Yeah.
We continued to grow. And I think we were just going more corporate where, you know, your voice wasn't heard as much. And not that that really mattered, but being able to make an impact on people without having all the red tape and going up the chain, whatever it may be.
That's what it's about, man.
Yeah, I think we started going that direction. And then, you know, I viewed Austin, Texas as an opportunity. Well, you know, hey, this is a new challenge. Not many people do this.
Yeah.
It's a struggling office. There's 120% turnover.
Yeah.
They've had 5 office leaders. Like, I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be really hard.
Right.
I called my wife, Carly, and I'm like, Carly, we had a house. It's like, do you want to move to Austin?
Sure. Well,
we got to sell the house and get down there. But like, well, let's do it. It's going to be fun.
That's cool.
We did that. It was amazing. We got the office turned around, but it got to a point where, you know, I chased a carrot down there. Was hoping, you know, for a promotion coming back, and it just wasn't there.
Sure.
I didn't like the feel and the direction of the company.
Sure.
And that's when our conversations kind of picked back up from 2013.
Right.
5 years later. But, you know, I love the experience. I wouldn't change it for anything. I think they did a phenomenal job with the training process. And, you know, early on, I think it just got to a point where, you know, they got so big, it was very difficult to maintain that early culture that we had on.
Yeah. Last question here, man. What are you most proud of in your life?
Personally, professionally, I think I'm going to go both here.
A combination, all the above.
Professionally, I mean, it's this.
Yeah.
This is the hardest thing. I can speak for you, I'm hoping, but this is the hardest thing I've ever done.
Sure.
I imagine it's the same for you.
Yeah.
If I didn't have you as a partner, I can't ever imagine truly going down this route.
Yeah, agree.
Because the challenges and the workload and the stress, I have my wife to lean on, but having someone that's actually going through it in the weeds with you was... like, it's invaluable.
Yeah.
So having a partner like you and building a company like this and being able to look back like, oh man, that was.
Yeah.
Like, we're just getting started too,
which is
phenomenal.
But. Well, and I think the cool thing about that, like you mentioned it, but it's, you know, with this, you know, opportunity, there's so many things that come up that you have no idea about, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, I guess we need to do that.
Yep.
Right. Like, oh, we need to come up with a marketing budget or, you know, what the hell is marketing, right?
Yeah.
Like it's one of those things that I think is cool. We're learning, you know, new things every day, right? And I think that's the cool part about it.
Yeah.
Right. So it's awesome, man. This is going to be an awesome journey. And I'm glad that, you know, our listeners and viewers have been able to learn a little bit more about us and create that foundation for the show.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Let's start talking about your next level as an entry-level salesperson in logistics or a mid-level manager. What's next for you? Yeah.